magic years, around 10 or 11 or 12, right in there. Well, all right, fine, Professor. So you believe an Einstein is environmentally launched as opposed to born that way. What kind of environmental trigger can you imagine? And you I know you've looked into it. With that theory, you would have had to have looked into it. What was his life like? What might have done the trick?
Okay, I think there are two basic ingredients that create these supernovas, like Albert Einstein, that just light up the universe. The first is, during these magic years, 10, 11, 12, 13, before they get before they enter puberty in junior high school and the conformity that we see in junior high school, there is an existential shock that they feel, seeing that there's a universe beyond mommy and daddy. Mm. With Einstein, it was a compass needle, realizing that there was unseen forces that were invisible that was guiding the compass needle. For Enrico Fermi, Nobel laureate, it was a gyroscope, realizing the gyroscopes did not fall the way that they normally should fall. For Nobel laureate Steve Weinberg, it was a chemistry kit, learning that there are all these laws of chemistry that you could master right in your own backyard.
Mm-hmm.
With Nobel laureate Isidore Rabi, it was an astronomy book, realizing that there are whole worlds out there beyond mommy and daddy, whole worlds out there. So that's the shock. The first ingredient is the shock they feel, realizing that it's a whole new universe beyond the home and the family.
All right. Dennis, just before you go on, Dennis in Dallas, Texas writes, if there is a trigger, it has to do with relationships. Einstein understood that the fabric of family would limit his theoretical horizons. He was not held down by family ties. His genius was allowed to fly. Much of our energy is tied into family ties. Agreed?
Well, that was a little bit later, because in the early days, of course, Einstein was very much tied to his family. His father was an electrical engineer, a failed businessman. Hmm. It was only later that he just burst forth and went on his own and, you know, became a pioneer all by himself. But I think the second ingredient is you need a role model. You need a mentor, somebody who guides you along. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that's mommy or daddy. But for Einstein, it was actually a medical student who came by and, tutored him a bit and gave him textbooks. And every week they would do a different textbook and it kept getting more and more advanced. And pretty soon Einstein was devouring material that even he didn't understand. Mm-hmm. So it requires a guiding light, a mentor, a role model. The role model, of course, doesn't have to be a family member. For me, it was Einstein himself. Reading books about Einstein, that was my role model. For other people, it's a family, a relative, perhaps an engineer or a scientist or a teacher in the family who gives you books to read. And that is a second thing, the second booster rocket, which then launches you into a realm of thought and a realm of mathematics and a realm of physics. And this means that children that, you know, we see around us could become another Einstein if they have the right temperament and the right opportunity. But unfortunately, most of us don't have the temperament and most of us don't have the opportunity to launch off into these abstract directions. But I firmly believe that genius is made, not born. There's nothing in Einstein's brain that makes us believe that there is a genius brain.
But if it's not developed during the magic years, then it's probably not going to happen. If it has developed, it's going to stay with you. So, for example, Professor, do you still feel as though you have the ability to move in the realm of such abstract thought that you might stumble across that equation or some other great discovery yet in your life?
Well, we all have that hope. We physicists and mathematicians are productive into our 70s. The brain does not degenerate like the body. The brain is just as sharp as it is in the 70s as it is when you're a youth. The problem is that as you get older and more established, you have more distractions, more committee work to do, more letters to answer.
Yes.
That's the problem. You don't have time to concentrate because when you're young, there are no distractions. You're not married. You don't have kids. You just concentrate on one thing and just blast off and create great discoveries. So Einstein later in his life had many distractions, but even then he was still productive. He was productive till the day he died. His unfinished manuscript, he was working on his unified field theory even on his deathbed, practically. And so that, I think, is an inspiration, that if you take a look at the history of mathematicians and physicists, they're quite active into the 70s. Maybe not as spectacular as they were in their 20s when mm-hmm. they won the Nobel Prize, but still very active, very productive, even into the 70s.
Eugene in Santa Barbara asks, is it true that before Einstein died, he did state a belief in a higher power? I believe he said, quote, how could there not be, end quote?
Well, throughout Einstein's life, he had a belief in God. In fact, when he was a teenager, he actually got very religious all of a sudden, until he began to read astronomy books and science books, and then began to realize that many of the tales that he was told probably violate the laws of science. But Einstein made a distinction between two types of God, and this is very important. The first is the God of intervention, the God that parts the waters, the God that walks on water, the God that answers prayers, the God of Isaac, Moses, and Jacob. That's the first God. The second God is the God of Spinoza, the God of logic and reason and harmony. And so Einstein believed that the universe was so gorgeous, it was so elegant, that only a few equations could describe most things around him, that he thought that there was a God. He called him the old man or the old one. In his writings, he often refers to the old one. And his goal was to read his thoughts, to read the thoughts of the old one, and to figure out whether or not the old one had a choice in making the universe. So when he woke up in the morning, he would ask a question that most of us don't ask. Most of us ask the question, where's breakfast? When he woke up in the morning, he said, I am God. I am going to create a universe. What universe would I create if I were God? And that was his guiding light for much of his life. He would ask himself the question, the universe that I would create would be simple, elegant, pictorial, based on a few physical principles, rather than a jungle of just pure mathematics.
Professor, do you think that Einstein's God of logic, reason, and harmony did he believe that this God would provide a life after physical death for him?
I don't think so. In his will, he said that he wanted to be cremated and have his ashes distributed by his family members. And basically, he, you know, interviews in his latest years showed that he was, you know, satisfied with life, that he did his share. He said he's done his share and it is time to go, that we all have our, you know, we all have our run on the planet Earth. And after that, we should go gracefully rather than trying to, you know, cling to something that that is not tenable. He realized that there is a time to go. But he did believe that we're all part of a cosmic order that could not have been by accident.